welcome to Be Simply. This is she, and I want to thank you for connecting in this moment. Today we have special guest Eric Baumgartner, and he is an acupuncturist, an herbalist, a nutritionist, and provides functional medicine. Today he's going to share his wisdom and some new creations that you can welcome into your life if inspired. So without further ado, let's dive in with Eric. So, Eric, I want to thank you for being here today. A long time coming, so I'm excited.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I would love for you to start by sharing a little bit about your work and your inspiration, especially around to your creations. We'll go more in depth, but just if you can share with the listener a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about in treating others and helping them come into well-being.
Yeah, thank you. Well, my main training is in Eastern medicine. I'm an acupuncturist and herbalist, kind of an East-West herbalist. I've been studying herbs since I was about 21, so getting on like 20 years now of just playing with plants and learning from plants, and that's what led me into becoming an acupuncturist, actually, along with kind of discovering, you know, just the magic of plant medicines that is so alive in so many indigenous traditions, which is where I first really discovered plant medicine, and the magic of herbs and the things that grow around us that can be used as medicines. And that really fascinated me and led me really onto the medicine path and to study Chinese medicine and actually also to study a lot of the native wisdom from the Americas, with different traditions here. And in South America and Central America, I lived for a long time in Mexico. That's kind of the lens that I look through. And interestingly, in the last several years, I've kind of come full circle to really being a scientist and sort of realizing that, you know, shamanism is a science. And, you know, herbalism, even though it's very magical, is also a science. And so I've really spent the last few years diving back into looking at all the things that I've learned that have a little bit more esoteric or metaphysical origin, and studying them from a real scientific perspective, and trying to understand and incorporate how the Western mind really understands things. So I've been studying functional medicine for the last few years, which is really the meeting place for me between Eastern and Western medicine, where we use really specific and newly developed and kind of advanced laboratory testing techniques. And then, you know, we get as much information as we can from that side, and then we integrate that with all the other information that we have from the Chinese medical diagnostics and from the energetic perspective, and our treatments are still largely based on herbalism, acupuncture, nutrition, supplements, things like that. So my practice now is really integrated between those two things, really acupuncture and Chinese medicine, as well as functional medicine. I work with a lot of people locally. I live in Ojai, which is a little town outside of LA, about 90 minutes. And I work with local people doing acupuncture, but I also work via Skype and phone with a lot of people nationally and internationally who, you know, can't get into my office for acupuncture. We do more the functional medicine approach and nutrition and herbs and things like that. So that's kind of where I come from. And then my most recent project is really Essential Medicina, which is, at this point, is a couple of herbal blends that I've developed that came out of my studies in the last several years and, you know, the need from my patients for some really high quality tonic kind of herbs that address the the issue of adrenal fatigue, which is kind of one of the things that I've been specializing in and that I'm seeing a lot of everywhere I go, not just in my patient population, but in my friends, in my family, myself. I went down that road pretty far. And so I have two products. One of them is the adrenal essence, and the other one is the mind's eye. So we can talk about those, and those are kind of my little, something that I've burst into the world in the last year, and something I'm very excited about, and
beautiful,
really interesting.
So, well, why don't we dive into adrenals? Because I think a lot of people don't realize how they're taxing their adrenals, and if you can share a little bit how to identify you're suffering from fatigue, and then the things you can do to ensure that you're nourishing them properly.
Great. Yeah, it's really, in some ways it's really simple, and in other ways it's really, really challenging, right? So adrenals, the basic way to understand them is that they're our stress response system. So, you know, we think about the adrenals and we think about adrenaline whenever we get into a dangerous situation, and we hear about, you know, when somebody gets in a car accident, they kind of, you know, there's some sort of superhuman feat that they perform. And even if you've ever been in a situation like that, you can feel how time kind of slows down, and you just get, you know, it's like the sharpness of your senses and your abilities are heightened. And that is due to the stress hormones that are released in those moments. And cortisol is one of those. Adrenaline is part of that group. And their basic function is to activate what we think of and is commonly called the fight-or-flight mechanism. So they prepare the body to either, you know, fight or address a danger or a stress that's in front of us, or to run away. So the basic function of those hormones is to distribute energy towards your muscles, towards your sense organs, and towards particular parts of your brain that allow you to respond really quickly and, you know, to sort of, it's like a survival instinct, right?
Right.
The interesting thing about that system is that it functions really well in those kinds of circumstances and in short-term bursts, right? Like if you are actually in a dangerous situation, that system turns on and it's really effective, and it's, you know, protected our species for generations and millennia. What it's not really designed to do is to deal with low-grade, chronic kinds of stressors that are present all the time. Because what's interesting is the body doesn't really differentiate between types of stresses. So it doesn't differentiate between an actual physical danger and an imagined or perceived danger. So, you know, an example of that is like, you know, just one of the examples I've given of being in an actual dangerous situation, being in a car accident, or, you know, if you happen to be, and this is where this mechanism developed, like, is be in the presence of a predator, right? Like, that activates that fear, that flight mechanism. But a deadline will also activate the same mechanism, and a debt will also do the same thing, or, you know, resentment, even, that you kind of are harboring some kind of emotion that you won't let go of. All of those things trigger that same mechanism. It might be to a lesser degree, but they're triggering the same release of hormones into the system. So the body then is constantly getting pushed into that fight or flight. And because we have so many stressors coming at us every day, we have those emotional stressors, we have, you know, financial stress and debt, and we have work stress, and we have relationship stress, and we have, you know, traffic, and we have environmental pollution, and we have all these things that all get interpreted by the body as stress, all turn on that same mechanism. What happens is basically that mechanism gets overextended. You know, it gets exhausted because it can't keep up with the demands for those stress hormones. And the other thing that happens is it gets locked on. So after a while of, you know, every day telling the body that there's, you know, that it's under stress, or being in a even a low-grade stress for, you know, several weeks or several months or even several years, like many of us are, that mechanism, it's like it loses the ability to shut off.
Mm.
And it's because there's a connection between the adrenals and the brain, hypothalamus and the pituitary and the brain. Those are like the parts of the brain and the glands in the brain that regulate the hormone system. And the hormone system is very intimately connected with our neurological system.
Mm.
They're kind of one. You can't really separate them out, even though we do for purposes of understanding. They work together. And so at some point, the brain, it's like, you know, if you've ever had a sore elbow and every day that elbow is hurting and hurting and hurting, well, after a while, you kind of start to ignore it. Right? You only notice it when it gets really bad. It's like there's a threshold where the brain just starts to ignore pain after a while. And it's the same thing with those stress hormones. After a while, it starts to kind of ignore them. It doesn't respond in the same way and try to slow your body down. It just figures, okay, well, you know, this stress hormone just keeps coming. I'm just going to let it, you know, let it be. And so eventually that leads to burnout because you can't keep that up forever. And, you know, I think what I just see and what I know is true for myself is that there's just so much that pushes us to, you know, to be doing constantly and going and, you know, staying up late and getting up early and being on the computer, and all of those things are little stresses.
Mm.
And they just add up over time.
So basically all of us, our saber-toothed tigers, our self-imposed stress that we're putting on us daily.
Exactly. Yeah, and there are so many, like, real things that we have to deal with every day that are stressful. And what occurs to me and what I say to a lot of my patients is I'll say, "What, you know, are you stressed?" And they're like, "No, you know, I'm fine. I'm, you know, maybe I'm a little stressed." And it's because we've come to think that a certain level of stress is normal.
Mm-hmm.
So like on a scale of 1 to 10, a normal stress level is like 12. We don't really register that we're stressed until we hit like 15.
Right.
Or 18, and then you're like, you know, then at that point your body's kind of freaking out because it's like, oh, I can't deal with this. And when you don't have reserves because you've been under stress for a long time, then that stress response can become very heightened. So, you know, I see a lot of people with anxiety that's kind of, you know, inappropriate in the sense that it's disproportionate to what's really going on, but it's because the body's reacting in a way that it's like, wow, I don't have a lot of reserves here to deal with, you know, a real danger. And so I'm reacting to these smaller dangers because it's like, you know, you're internally feeling kind of fragile, or the body knows that it's kind of fragile.
Right. So some helpful hints on how to put yourself in reverse.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's perfect that we're talking now because this is one of the times of year when it's so important to really slow down, and our culture is exactly opposite of what we should be doing according to nature, right? Like,
right.
Nature is slowing down. Everything's turning in. The leaves are falling. You know, the seeds are burying themselves deep in the ground. They're not, like, sprouting out right now and growing upward, right? So winter is a time when naturally we should be slowing down and turning inward, being a little bit less social and outward and more inward. You know, not to say that you shouldn't gather with family and friends, but that, you know, our social calendar should be a little bit more moderate. And, you know, we should be spending more time in meditation. We should be spending more time in the bathtub. And we should be spending, you know, getting to bed earlier because it gets dark at 4:45 or 5, right? You should be in bed by maybe 8 o'clock at this time of year and sleeping more, because we need times of the year when we slow way down to balance out the times of the year when we're really more expansive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's an example. And I think that that applies not just to our year, but also to our month or to our week. For a lot of my female clients, I see that when their moon cycle comes around, their menstrual cycle, they don't really slow down. They don't really allow themselves, you know, 1 or 2 or even 4 or 5 days of being much more inward and much slower and much more private and much more, you know, nourishing, self-nourishing. You know, or during your week, like, what do you do on Sundays? Are you running around all day? You know, I know for me, a lot of times I'm like running from the soccer field to this thing, to a social event, to the grocery store, to like, you know, there's no Sabbath there. There's no like slow rest, inward time. So, you know, I think that's a really powerful principle that we can apply to even just to our day, right? Even in your day, like, where's that hour where you really stopped?
Absolutely.
And there's just silence and there's, you know, self-care. So, you know, that's not really built into our culture very much. So we have to kind of fight for it and defend that little territory of self-care for one thing. You know, one thing that gets a lot of us, kind of pushes us, is that like 9 to midnight work time slot.
Yeah.
You know, where you get your parent, you get your kids kind of down and settled into bed, and then you're like, okay, I gotta do laundry, I gotta do the dishes, I gotta get to the back of those emails that I haven't, you know, didn't get time to do today. I need to do research on that project that I'm working on. I need to, you know, and pretty soon it's like 12 or 12:30, and that happens. You know, that happens 6 days a week for a lot of us. And it's, what happens there is that the rhythm of the body around 8 or 9 o'clock starts to want to turn inward. And if you kind of push past that little low point, that tired point, and re-engage the stress hormones, then it's almost like you're dipping into tomorrow's reserves. Right? And you're dipping into the time, literally, when the body should be replenishing the supply of those hormones for tomorrow, and cleansing the blood and nourishing the tissues and, you know, allowing your mind to go in and process and metabolize your experiences from the day. And if you stay up through that time, it doesn't happen. And so you're kind of like borrowing from the future. It's like, I think of it like a high interest credit card, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to charge this extra time, but tomorrow, you know, literally, if you wanted to pay it back, you would have to pay it back in double.
Mm.
So it's not the same to sleep from 1 to 9 as it is to sleep from 10 to 6, because we're, to some degree, we're kind of hardwired to the light and dark cycle.
Mm.
And so, so that's another pretty simple one. If you're really noticing that your energy levels are dropping or they're really up and down, sleep is like the cheapest and best drug you can get. And the easiest way to balance hormones is just to really give yourself, replenish your sleep. They've actually done some studies on like sleep debt, where if you miss a couple of hours of sleep especially during that time frame between 10 and 6, then to make it up, you have to make it up with 1.5 or 2 times as many hours of sleep the next day. So sometimes I recommend people actually take, they have, like, somebody coined the phrase sleepcation, where you actually, like, go away for a weekend and, like, just sleep, stay in bed.
Right.
Turn off your phone. Don't bring your computer. Don't tell anyone where you're going to be.
And replenish.
Catch up, you know, catch up.
Can you share a little bit with that around, in Chinese medicine, the organs are doing something really magical at nighttime, and if you can share a little bit how that clock works. Obviously, it's happening all day long, but there's some important things happening at night, and if we
can
share a little bit about that.
It's really interesting. what happens is that each couple of hours throughout the day, the energy in the body moves through the meridians and also through the organ systems that correspond to those meridians. And so there's kind of a rhythm of where the focus or the majority of the body's energy is circulating during parts of the day. And so, for example, like when you wake up in the morning, like a good sign that you have a healthy digestive system is that you wake up with a good appetite, because the energy in the body, ideally between 7 and 9, is in the stomach, and then from 9 to 11 is in the spleen. So that's why oftentimes, and this is also something that pertains to adrenal fatigue, is that, you know, it's a really good idea to wake up and have a good, healthy breakfast between, you know, within the first hour of waking. Because it, you know, it utilizes that rhythm that the body has, and the sort of the digestive fire, we could say, is in those organs right then. And so you can really get the most out of the food that you put in, and it sets you up for the day to have a good solid balance. So from there, you know, stomach, spleen in the middle of the day is kind of the apex when the sun is at the highest. It moves into the fire organs, the heart and the small intestine. Then it moves into the bladder and the kidneys in the later afternoon. And the time period that we're talking about is kind of the evening. So 9 to 11, 11 to 1, 1 to 3, those are really key times, because between 9 and 11, the energy goes into what's called the triple burner, which is one of these organs that doesn't really exist anatomically, but it's responsible for circulating the energy throughout the entire body. So it's really, it's almost like, you know, that time of day is when the body wants to be able to balance out wherever there was excess or deficiency, and then it starts to really move inward. So 11 to 1, the energy's in the gallbladder, and 1 to 3, it's in the liver. And what ideally happens during that time is that the energy is, again, it's moving inward, and the liver especially is cleansing the blood. And, you know, recycling hormones. The liver actually recycles a lot of the hormones that we use and process, so that we, you know, we don't have to make it as much, because we can reutilize them. But, you know, basically, I think more importantly even than what's happening specifically or where that energy is just that if we don't rest during that time, then, you know, it's like the movement of the blood has to sort of go through these layers to get to the deeper layers, like the liver, where it's going to be cleansed. And if it's circulating and moving, because you're moving and you're up and you're active and it's in the brain and it's in the, you know, then it doesn't get to move inward. It kind of stays on the surface. And so, you know, a lot of us experience that when you go to bed, you can't rest, you can't fall asleep, where you fall asleep and then you wake back up, and it's because the energy in the blood is kind of on the surface. It doesn't know how to go in, because we've been pushing, so much of our focus is external, right? And we're pushing through that time when naturally the energy starts to turn in. So the key for me really is that liver 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. time, just because of the function there and how it relates to what we're talking about. But it's the times that come before that, the previous two time slots, the triple burner and the gallbladder, where the energy's moving inward in order to get to that last stage.
So you can't just jump in.
Exactly, right? It's like, yeah, exactly. You could, you know, but it doesn't seem to work that way.
just jump in. Well, and so for the listeners, to kind of give them an idea of in the evening, I like that triple burner. that it might be good to maybe start to meditate from 9 to 10 and then in bed by 10.
It's a really nice time. I even recommend, especially in this time of year, like really letting the lights start to dim. You know, computer screens dimmed or down. There's an app that dims your computer screen automatically and filters out the blue light. It's called Flux. I think you can get it at just getflux.com. It's a free app and you put it on your computer and it dims. So if you do have to work, it just sort of cuts down on the harsh, you know, light that's coming out of the computer, which actually disrupts the hormones. But yeah, start to dim your lights down to, you know, light candles. It's like the quality of the environment when you shift from, you know, shift to natural lighting, or you shift to lighting that's kind of appropriate for the season and the time of day. It's like your body just kind of goes, oh.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, like candlelight, like.
It feels so good.
I want to read poetry. I want to listen to some soft music. I want to, you know, meditate. Like, those things just all of a sudden become really, like, second nature.
Mm.
Whereas when the lights are on, you're like, oh my gosh, everything's still messy. I need to clean up. I need to call up, you know. You just keep going.
Mm.
So, yeah, slowing down. You know, a little bit of self-care, whatever that looks like, meditation. I love to, you know, get in the bath or, you know, do a little bit of stretching during that time. Even have a cup of, like, calming kind of tea if you're someone that has a hard time sleeping. Chamomile is really nice. Or, you know, there's some nice herbal blends that are calming to the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and just make that. And make that part of your ritual to slow down in your day.
And so any foods off the top of your head that are supportive in conjunction with adrenal essence or separately to help rebuild?
Yeah, food's kind of an interesting, you know, it's a whole topic.
Right. I guess I shouldn't even have asked that question because you're absolutely right.
It's good because I think, you know, the other thing that's huge within this conversation that...
or maybe to eat.
Yeah, to eat, exactly. And I was going to say blood sugar, because blood sugar is also regulated by the same hormone that is involved in this whole adrenal stress response that we're talking about. So when your blood sugar drops, it actually also kicks in those stress hormones. So a lot of us, you know, skip breakfast, have coffee, or skip lunch because we're too busy, or have something kind of sweet and sugary, even if it looks like a power bar, and you just keep going, and then, you know, in the afternoon, you might have another cup of something caffeinated because you're, you know, losing energy, and that whole thing really creates a huge amount of blood sugar ups and downs.
Mm.
So when we talk about foods, a lot of times with adrenal essence or adrenal fatigue, we're talking about how to use food to help balance blood sugar, which again is kind of a whole other conversation. But intuitively, you know, it's a little bit of cutting back on the really sweet foods.
Yeah.
That we tend to lean on. And also, this kind of segues into talking about the products, reducing or eliminating or using stimulants much more consciously.
Mm.
Because stimulants, like caffeine, push the same stress hormones.
Yeah.
So the way that we, you know, what we like about the caffeine is that it turns on that stress response system. Which feels kind of good, right? Because it turns our brain on, it turns our senses on, it gives us that little burst of get up and go. But again, when we're overstimulated already, a lot of times it's pushing that same response and causing it to be overworked. So, you know, especially starting your day first thing out of the gate with something caffeinated creates a huge spike in the blood sugar, creates a huge response from the adrenals. you know, when I was going through this myself, I found that I was really dependent on coffee because I was low energy, and I was kind of like what a lot of people describe to me when they come in for treatment is feeling like they're kind of depressed, but they're not. They don't want to say they're depressed because they don't really feel like it's so emotionally depressed, but they feel kind of depressed like they've lost their spark, like they're not... You know, they've kind of lost the joy or the ability to enjoy things the way they used to. A lot of people have anxiety, you know, which I never used to be someone who was anxious, but all of a sudden I found myself really, like, anxious about things, and it has to do with, you know, being a little bit fragile internally because we've depleted our reserves. Sometimes there's a little bit of weight gain that is either just sticking around, you can't get rid of it like you used to, or especially around the middle section is oftentimes an indicator that your adrenals are stressed. Changes in sleep patterns and insomnia oftentimes reflects an imbalance in the hormones and the adrenals. For women, oftentimes a change in the menstrual cycle or that, you know, irregularity that starts to happen is coming from adrenal stress because the female hormones are sort of downstream from the adrenals in the watershed of hormone production in the body. So anyway, for me, I noticed that I was really leaning on caffeine because I was so tired all the time. But I also noticed that it had a really, it was kind of a double-edged sword in the sense that it made me feel good in the short term, but in at the end of my day, I found myself really tired, but also really wired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a hallmark symptom of adrenal fatigue too, is that you feel tired, but you're also kind of wired. You're like, oh, I can't really relax. I'm exhausted, but I can't sleep, or I just can't let down. And for me, caffeine was like contributing to that. And so one of the things that, in my training as an herbalist, there are all kinds of herbs in the world, and there are a lot of different herbs that are used for very specific and very acute symptoms, you know, relieving nasal congestion or relieving a headache or, you know, relieving like inflammation in the eye or something really specific like that. And then there's a whole class of herbs, and they're called adaptogens. And they're herbs that we don't see so much in kind of Western herbalism or some of the more Westernized herbal traditions. But in Ayurveda from India and Chinese medicine, which are really, really old traditions, they have developed and identified and cultivated this class of herb called adaptogens. And so basically what they do is they help us to adapt better to stress. But they're kind of like smart plants. So they're like the person who can walk into a crowded room and really read the room and know their audience and know exactly what to say and what jokes to tell. And these herbs, when you take them, they sort of come in and survey the scene before acting. So their action is not mechanical. It's more intelligent. They kind of come in and say, okay, this person's really depleted over here, but really excess over here. And so we're going to balance that out and the ability to build and clear at the same time, or to energize and calm at the same time. So they're not mechanical like a stimulant would be, but at the same time they can give you energy. So, you know, for me, I was like, well, why am I only taking coffee? Like I'm getting kind of, coffee's, it's just taking the limelight, but there's so many other good substances that you can take for energy, and you know, in the sense that I'm just like, I'm just getting kind of lazy here. Like, coffee is the easiest one to find. It tastes good. It's comforting. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other things. And this is, for me, coffee has kind of a diminishing return. Like, the first day I do it, it's great. The second day, it's a little bit less. And by the fifth or sixth day, I'm like, ah, I think I need another cup of coffee. You know? And I kind of have a headache. Like, you know, it's... But herbs, these herbs in particular, are known to, over time, build up your reserves of energy. Mm. So if you're taking them every day for 6 months, you know, you're slowly replenishing what you have depleted over maybe the last 15 or 20 years.
Mm.
And so they're all kind of, they all have a little bit of mystical lore around them, which I love. They're beings of them. In and of themselves, they're these wise sages among many, many, you know, a kingdom of plants. They are, many of them, considered among the royalty, if we could say it that way.
Mm.
So, you know, things like ginseng, which you probably heard of, which is an amazing herb. And we actually use the American ginseng, which is native to the Americas, to grows in the like the Catskill, the Adirondack Mountains region, typically, and is farmed in other places. And there, it's just a really intelligent plant that helps our body to adapt. It replenishes the kidneys and the spleen and digestive force and the lungs, and works on so many different levels. And also, these plants tend to have some kind of a spiritual... capability, or, you know, they tend to enhance our affinity for the spiritual.
Mm.
So they'll improve your ability to meditate, or your focus and concentration, or your memory, or your, you know, they have some kind of an ability to support us in that regard too. So, both of these blends basically were created to, kind of selfishly, to replace coffee.
Yeah.
or at least to be, you know, an add-on to your routine where that's not the only thing you're doing. So I generally now prepare them kind of like a latte in the morning.
Mm.
And I've realized, well, that partly what I wanted was just something nourishing and
right.
You know, comforting and yummy. But also something, you know, that really truly is nourishing and is not depleting my system.
Right. And would you recommend in the use of both these products and just with the idea of eating upon wake up just to, you know, nourish yourself or within the hour for someone to potentially, you know, get up, do their thing, make sure they feed themselves sooner than later, then maybe have this with it, and then if they still are a coffee lover, that they have that a little bit later?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my negotiation with my coffee lovers and my negotiation with myself when I was at that stage was like, okay, you can have your coffee, just, you know, let your mind relax. You can have your coffee, but just don't have it first thing. Wait till you've had gotten some food in your belly. You know, if you're... kind of take your herbs, and then if you're still wanting the coffee, then you can have it. And the difference in what that does in your body when it's not the first and only thing in there is pretty significant.
Mm.
It definitely moderates, you know, some of what is the potential for that particular herb, the coffee, to throw your body into imbalance or to overstimulate.
And then where would you recommend movement, you know, getting people exercise?
Because
mm-hmm. Suddenly we have a very short window if you're trying to do that in the morning.
Yeah, right.
I mean, or is it better in the end? I mean, I prefer for some myself movement
yeah.
later in the day, but
You know, I like it in the morning too, so I think it is a little bit of a negotiation and all the things that you have to do in the morning. Sometimes that means you have to get up a little earlier, and that sort of pushes you to go to bed a little earlier, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know? So getting up and walking or doing your exercise, you know, kind of your first half hour, and then going from there to, you know, preparing something to drink or eat that's not coffee quite yet. That's a great way to start. I also think that, you know, the idea of functional in medicine is that we're looking not at, like, we're looking at, for example, lab ranges that are not based on a diseased population or a quote-unquote normal population, but we're looking at where the body's optimal functional range is, right? So, for example, on a regular lab test, all the blood sugar values are based on the millions of people that get their blood sugar tested every year. But as we know now, like 60 to 70% of those people are pre-diabetic or diabetic, right? So that affects the normal, skews it towards a higher number that's actually probably not healthy. And so the functional range within that is much narrower. So when I think about exercise, to use that analogy, like functional exercise is going to be not just what you can squeeze into your morning routine, but also what you can build into your day. You know, it's like, it's the little things like parking and walking to where you're going. It's also, you know, looking at how to get a standing desk, or looking at, you know, getting out of your building for 10 or 15 minutes every 2 to 3 hours to walk. You know, so that you're not having to cram a whole day's exercise into 30 minutes. That 30 minutes is important, but it's also really important to start to think about how you can integrate movement into your entire day. You know?
Yeah, because we used to be farmers.
Exactly. Yeah, we used to be moving all the time.
Yeah.
And it's really important. And, you know, in some ways, I think more important than the concentrated, you know, weightlifting workout, cardio, run, swim, run, whatever it is that you do, that's important. But I sort of put that as in second place to, like, how do we build our lives so that we're moving all the time? We're moving more, you know, we're more active in our day-to-day activities, because then, you know, then exercise becomes less of like a necessity and something that you do more because you enjoy it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not just like another thing on your list, because exercise also becomes another stressful thing on our list that we do.
Yes.
When we're in that pattern. It's like, oh, I gotta get to the gym, and I go work out, even yoga.
Yeah.
I'm writing an article right now on why so many yogis have adrenal fatigue. It's because even yoga can be stressful. And you're like running from work to get to your yoga class to, like,
right,
you know, because you're committed to, like, your 40 days of sadhana, and you're like, you know, that it's stressful.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not the best thing for you. Maybe the best thing for you right then is to go home and, like, cook yourself a good dinner instead of, like, grabbing the power bar, going to yoga, getting another coffee, you know.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Go into Shavasana.
Yeah, exactly. Crash out.
Oh, beautiful. Well, why don't you share? This has been wonderful, Eric. And if you can share with the listeners where they can purchase the products, both Mind's Eye, and then what I'd like to do, if you're feeling aligned, invite you back so we can dive into more, because obviously we can't distill.
Sure.
Distill all this information down in a short interview.
Yeah, I know, there's so much, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the Mind's Eye and the Adrenal Essence are powdered herbal blends. They're organic and wildcrafted, and they're, you know, they're really easy to blend into like an almond milk style latte. If you're in LA, you can get them at the Cafe Gratitudes. They serve them there in, like, blend it all up for you in a latte, or you can buy them on the shelf there. You can also order them online. My website is essentialmedicina.com. It's like medicine with an A instead of an E at the end. Essentialmedicina.com. And they are, let's see, maybe I can send you a link to go along with when you send this class out.
Yeah, we'll put the links on there.
Yeah, because they're 30% off till the end of the year. So if you want to try it, it's a really good time. And the bags make about 45 or 48 servings. So I usually just recommend 1 teaspoon a day. You can have 2 if you're, you know, if you're especially tired, but 1 teaspoon is a serving.
Beautiful.
I hope that some of you will try them, and they definitely are designed to help you out. Mind's Eye is a little more to wake up your brain. It's got a little more of a coffee flavor profile, and it's to support that, you know, that brain fog that you have when you don't have coffee, or even when you do have coffee and you still have brain fog. It's got herbs that really wake up the brain and restore the function of the neurochemistry in that in the brain. And it works really, they work really well together. I oftentimes mix them because I always have both of them around. Have that luxury. but they're, you know, they're herbs again that are designed to be taken in relatively small doses over a long period of time, rather than something that's designed to be taken in a high dose for a short period of time, like say echinacea for a cold or flu. These are tonic herbs, so their function really is measured over time. And you know, they're longevity tonics. They kind of have more things than I can even say about them to tell. But anyway, thank you. I hope that was good. We got a lot of things packed in there, but I would love to come back and continue the conversation.
Absolutely. I think I'm excited to hear about the lore of some of these plants. I think that would be fun conversation.
Yeah, they're all like little Taoist hermits that live up in the mountains. Go sit in the cave with each one of them and something.
Absolutely. Oh, well, Eric, I really appreciate you being here with us today. We'll include all the links on here. Yeah, thank you for creating for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, too. Thanks for creating this forum, for sharing, and for the invitation.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Once again, thank you, Eric, for joining us. If inspired, please connect to his services, his products on the links below. And if inspired, stay a little bit longer. We're going to, pay respect to our adrenals right now and to Eric for taking the time to do his studies and communing with nature to continue to create and serve others. We're going to listen to a little Medicine Buddha mantra, and during this time, if inspired, just bring the breath in, welcome connecting to your internal medicine, welcome connecting to the pause to replenish self and regenerate self as we enter into these winter months. Until next time, this is She signing out with a full heart, a soft gaze, a deep bow, and a namaste. Be simply.
Oh.